Well, good morning. It's so good to see you online today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is David. I'm the pastor here. If we've not met before, I'm glad you're with us. Let me say one quick thing about next Sunday to echo what Gary said. We are very, very excited about being able to come back together as a church family. And we are going to go through all the necessary turnstiles to make sure everybody is safe and stays healthy. And so we're looking forward to coming back together. The doors will open at 10:15 next Sunday for just our 10:45 worship service, and we'll be doing that through the month of June. Now today what we're doing is we're continuing our series called How You Doing? And for the last several weeks, we've been talking about some of the emotions and some of the feelings that we've been dealing with through this whole pandemic thing, the fear, the anxiety, all kinds of emotions that go through the gamut of the emotions. And we've been talking about how to deal with them and how to deal with how you feel. And one of the things we've been looking at primarily is what God says in His Word about how to handle your emotions, because God is very clear about you and I and His desire for us to become emotionally healthy people. And so what we've been doing in this series is talking about what does it look like to be emotionally healthy if we need to be there, or what is it like for us to stay emotionally healthy, because it is important for us to be emotionally healthy. Why is that? Well, the reason is because being emotionally healthy makes your life better, but it also makes you better at life. And so in this series, we've been talking about some of that stuff in this series. Now today, I've got my friend and fellow staff member, Dean Daniel, who's our student pastor, and I've asked him to come along and work with me and talk about a very important subject, a feeling that all of us deal with at certain times in our life. It is a very real emotion. It is a very powerful emotion. It is emotion that we may not characterize as what we're going to characterize it, but it is emotion that all of us deal with, and that is the emotion of sadness. And today, we're going to tackle that subject in this series.
Sadness is a universal emotion that we're all familiar with and that we can all relate to. It comes in different states and different forms, different degrees, and it contains a whole wide range of emotional states that we experience while we're being sad. When you're sad, you can experience things like disappointment, discouragement, helplessness and hopelessness, misery, despair, or grief, sorrow, and anguish. Sometimes we even experience sadness while we're experiencing other emotions, like anger and fear, even joy. Even during times of joy, we can feel sad. It's a complicated emotion, and it creates a real physical effect on our minds and our bodies. Sometimes our sadness is mild, and there's times when you feel just a little bit down, and you're sort of melancholy, you're sorrowful, or maybe you're reminiscent, you remember things from the past, you're just a little bit sad. But then there's other days when we just feel real blah. There's not maybe a physical illness, we just don't feel like anything good is happening in our life. Like maybe something's wrong, or we're just kind of unhappy. Other times our sadness is more acute, we well up with emotion, and we cry sad tears, that angry kind of red-faced cry. We isolate ourselves. We make ourselves just be in a lonely place. We just want to be alone. And still other times our sadness is extreme. We feel depressed and our sadness feels uncontrollable. We experience anxiety and fear, or we feel surrounded by our sadness. It's important to remember that no matter what age you are, whether you're old, whether you're young, no matter what occupation you have, no matter how good your life is, at some point you're going to feel sad. You're going to experience sadness. It's a common emotion that we all share. And we're funny creatures, humans are. When we experience heavy, intense emotion like sadness, we tend to feel isolated. We tend to feel cut off. But sadness is not something we have to experience alone, because we all experience times of sadness. Each of us has experience with sadness. Whether it's good events or bad events, we can help each other through those times of sadness.
So sadness is something that all of us deal with at certain times and in certain circumstances in our life. And maybe you grew up in a church, or maybe you grew up in a home where you were taught that there were right feelings to have and there were wrong feelings to have. that it's okay to feel one way, but it's not okay to feel another way. And so you grew up with the idea of that there's a right way to feel, there's a wrong way to feel, you shouldn't feel a certain way, you should feel another way. And so whenever you felt a certain feeling for you and you expressed that to someone who thought you shouldn't have that feeling, their response was, well, you shouldn't feel that way. You don't need to feel that way. And in our culture, and especially in church world, we're constantly telling people how to feel. Well, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling sad. Well, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling like I'm worried. Well, you shouldn't feel that way. You ought to be at peace. Well, I'm kind of down today. I'm kind of sad. I'm not really feeling like I want to feel. Well, you need to stop feeling that way. And in the church world, here's what we do. What we say is that you just need to have the joy of the Lord. And that's true. There is joy in the Lord. But when you tell a person who is feeling down to just have the joy in the Lord, what you're telling them is that what you're feeling is wrong and you need to stop it. The problem is you just can't turn off those feelings. And so what we do is we start to pretend. And we start to pretend to feel a certain way that we're not really feeling. And when people ask us, hey, how are you doing? We say, oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. All is good. But deep down inside, we're not doing great. We're not doing fine. All is not good. But we just know that that is the right answer. And we think that if they knew how we were really feeling, they would just tell us, well, don't feel that way. Well, that doesn't help a person, and so we just pretend to feel one way that we're not really feeling. And if you do that for very long, then what happens is you start to shut down emotionally, which is how many people deal with their feelings and their emotions. They just bury them, and they just pretend that those wrong feelings that they're feeling just aren't there, and that is never good. The truth is, all of us experience sadness. I have experienced in my life, Dean has, we all have. It is something that we all experience from time to time. And even those of us who are believers, who are God followers, we are sad sometimes. What we want you to understand today is it is okay to be sad sometimes. If you're dealing with the loss, if life is not turning out as you expected, if you're disappointed at life or at a person or maybe even disappointed at God, it is okay. Being sad and being disappointed is not a reflection of your trust in God. It's not a reflection of how much faith you have or you should muster up. It's not a matter of any of that. Sadness is a very common emotion that all of us deal with from time to time, and it is a natural and normal response to life when it's not turning out like we had hoped.
Why do we get sad, and where does sadness start? There are so many different reasons as to why we can experience sadness. And the big ones are easy. Like we can put a face, we can put a name on the big ones. Those are always first on our minds. Something bad happens that hurts us, or maybe something bad that hurts someone else, someone we care about, and it drives our emotions off a cliff, and we feel sad because of the things that happen to someone else, whether it's someone you love and is close to you, or maybe even a complete stranger. Other times, we may remember better times, good times or happy times that are now gone, and that can make us sad. There's so many different reasons why we can go through a time of sadness. I wrote down some things that I just, off the top of my head, maybe you're going through a stressful time. Maybe there's you're going through a divorce or a job change, or maybe the loss of a job. You've completely lost your job. A financial burden, financial ruin, maybe the economic collapse, watching your 401k disappear has you as sad. You could have an argument with somebody. You could have problems at school or problems at work. Maybe there's really big life changes. You're moving cities, you're moving houses, you're moving neighborhoods, you're losing friends. Or maybe it's rejection by a friend, abandonment by a loved one, saying goodbye to a good friend or a loved one when they're moving away. Sickness and death, those certainly are things that can make us sad. Disappointment at an unexpected outcome, like not getting a promotion or not getting a job. Sickness or underlying medical conditions that can make you feel sad and depressed and down. There can even be no specific reason. You just feel sad. There's so many reasons. It can be as simple as a child losing or breaking their favorite toy, and it could be as big as having a loved one pass away, a loss that winds up hurting us. It's okay to be sad. It's important for us to remember that. You're not crazy. You're not weird. You're not abnormal. It's a normal part of our life in this sinful, fallen world. It isn't a sinful emotion. We try to avoid sadness. We think of sadness as bad. We think of it as something to be avoided, but it's not a sinful emotion, which brings up a good question. What does God say about sadness? What does the Bible say about sadness? Because God is no stranger to sadness, and more importantly, God understands your sadness. He doesn't cruelly put or tell us to put a smile on our face and to ignore our sadness. The emotions that we feel, they're a gift from God. They're given to us as part of our ability to empathize and to relate, to put ourselves in other people's shoes, to feel pain and loss. Those are things that God wants you to experience. Even Jesus, the Son of God, experienced sadness. In John 11, we find the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus, who became sick and ultimately died. John tells us that when Jesus came to Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, he wept because of his friend's death and because of their pain. He was sad because his friends were sad and his friend had died. In Luke 19, Dr. Luke tells us that as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he sees the city, the beautiful temple in the distance, all the people crying out, Hosanna, and guess what? He begins to cry because he knows the future of that city. He knows that in AD 70, the Romans were going to come in and sack it. Jesus' greatest sorrow was in Matthew 27 when he hung on the cross, and that punishment that you and I deserved was that sin was placed upon his shoulders, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? A deep, horrible moment of sadness as Jesus died for our sins. The question we have to ask this morning is, what do we do when sadness comes into our lives? Because sadness is a powerful motivator. It can separate us from others, it can drive us into darkness, and it can turn us away from God. It can lead us out into the light, and it can lead us to embrace other people, and it can move us closer to God. Where does your sadness lead you? Does it lead you towards God, or does it lead you away from God? Does it lead you to God's presence, to God's understanding, and God's care and love, or does it lead you towards bitterness and anger and resentment towards God? There's been times in my own life when things bad happened to me, whether it was my own foolish choices or maybe it was unexpected, and I allowed my sadness to move me into bitterness and move me away from God. I responded to him with anger and resentment, rejection. I didn't want him to be with me. I felt like what was happening to me was my own fault, was his doing, and my sadness led me away from God. What we want you to learn this morning is to run towards God during your times of sadness. We want you to learn to lean on God during your times of sadness, to give him your sadness, and to understand this, that God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking and feeling, and he wants to comfort you, to love you, to build you up, and show you that he's present with you during your times of sadness.
So that's what we've been seeing in this series. We've been looking at one of the most famous people in the Bible and some of the things that he wrote, and that is David. We've been looking in some of the Psalms and looking at some of the things that he shared and how he went through life and what he struggled with his feelings. We see David as this mighty warrior, as this powerful king. But the thing about David is he was very emotional, and he was not afraid to share his emotions. He wasn't afraid to let people around him know what was going on in his life and how he was feeling, and he wasn't afraid to let God know about that as well. And he actually records for us many of the things that he was feeling, and they're found in the Psalms. In fact, Psalms is like his journal about what was going on in his life and how he was feeling about it. David actually wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms. And in these Psalms, he's very real, he's very honest, he's very open, and he does what most of us do not do. He actually plugs into his emotions, and he's not afraid to express those. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about David as we've looked at him and the things he's written in this series. One of the things I love about David is he's very real. And he's raw, and he's open, and he's honest about what he was feeling. And he wasn't afraid to express his feelings to God. If you have a Bible with you this morning, we're going to look at one of those psalms, Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And in this psalm, David writes during a very low moment in his life. He writes from a place that I guarantee you he never thought he would be. He's in a place he never imagined that his life would end up. He never imagined writing this psalm. He's actually writing this psalm from a cave in fear for his life.
So here we've got David. And he's this warrior, a hero. He's popular with the Israelites, right? King David, not Pastor David. He'd proven his military might. He'd proven his prowess. He was a man of the people, and the people loved him. The men admired him. The women loved him. Everybody loved David. His tales of adventure, the battles that he'd won, the wins that he had, those are told all over the land of Israel. And God had already chosen David to be king. If you remember the story at this point, God has already rejected Saul due to Saul's not listening to God, and he's already chosen David as king, and Saul is jealous of David. Saul hears the people sing songs of David's power and might, and there's no mention in those songs of Saul, and it drove Saul from having just a simple jealousy of David's military might to an outright hatred of David. Saul's hatred led him to try and actually kill David. David was married to the king's daughter. He was best friends with the king's son. He had sworn that he would not hurt Saul or Saul's children. And so instead, when Saul begins to try to hunt him down, he flees the palace and he flees Israel and he runs away and he takes with him warriors who are loyal only to David, only to him. And at this point, Saul has completely lost his focus. He's no longer content to serve God. He's no longer content to be king. Instead of attending to his kingly duties, he starts to actively hunt David down, like riding out into the desert, hunting down David. And Saul even killed the high priest, Ahimelech, the priest who helped David by giving him food and giving him Eliah's sword. Saul killed him and his entire family. Many, many different priests died because of Saul's hatred for David. His desire to kill David was so great that David was even forced to take his own mother and father and move them out of the country to a neighboring country who was a sworn enemy of Israel. That's how far he had to go in order to keep his family safe. David's gone from the celebrated hero to being an outlaw. He's forced to steal to survive. He's a man who's hunted. He's a man who's hated. How's that for fulfilling God's promise? God's promised you to be king, and you've gone from being the promised king to being an outlaw and a bandit, hunted and hated by your own people, by your own king. David even had a chance to end it all, a chance to kill Saul. Saul and his men went in a cave to use the bathroom of all things, not knowing that in the very back of the cave, way in the back, David and his men were hiding. And he had a chance. David's men say, go kill him, go kill him. And he cuts off the hem of his robe, but he doesn't kill the king. He refuses to kill the king that God had anointed. And David is learning that it's going to take more than just his good looks, his rapport with other people, and his military might for God's promise to be fulfilled. It would seem to him that his life was in shambles. God's promise of kingship was unattainable, and that God's favor and blessings were as far from him as the moon is from the earth. He's gone from being celebrated to hiding in caves to save his own life. Have you ever been inside of a cave? A few years ago, I visited the Longhorn Caverns here in Texas, and when you get about 100 feet inside, they turn off the lights, which is pretty cool. They turn off the lights so you can experience just how dark a cave really is on the inside. And let me tell you, when they turn off those lights, it's dark. You cannot see anything. There's no light. You can't see your hand in front of your face. You can't hear anything except this closed-in kind of feeling. You can even almost hear the blood in your ears. It's so quiet, and it's so dark, and it's so oppressive. That's what David's going through. He feels like the walls are closing in. There's no indication of what direction he's supposed to go. And the truth is, David's life had taken this traumatic turn for the worse, and he'd gone from living a good life in a palace to living on the run in a cave. And sometimes that's how you and I feel spiritually and emotionally and mentally. Sometimes things happen to us or to someone else, and we feel that sadness. We feel that we've gone from being up here to down here. And we feel like everything around us is dark and dismal, and the walls are closing in. Sometimes we feel like our lives are like David's. We're living in a cave, and our lives aren't working out. Things aren't happening the way they should. The unexpected has happened, and it's bad, right? Our joy and our love and our happiness is stolen. We're hurt. We're wounded, whether by others or by circumstances. We feel alone and abandoned. And David wrote of that experience in the cave in two psalms, Psalm 57 and the one we're reading today, Psalms 142.
And so that's sort of the background of what David writes when we come to Psalm 42. And he's feeling things that you and I feel. He's experiencing things that you and I experience at times in our life. He's in a place where he never thought he would be. Life was not turning out as he had planned. And he had no hope that things would ever change. And so with all of that in mind, listen to what David says as he expresses his emotions to God. Psalm 142, he begins by saying this. He says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell him my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way and the path where I walk. Men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, and no one cares for my life. David in this psalm is expressing his sadness to God, and he's just honest before God. Look at how he expresses his honesty and his sadness to God. And he starts by being almost in the third person, as if he's explaining to someone, anyone who would listen, the things that he's been doing in order to get God's attention. He says, I cry out to the Lord. He says, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy, that is, for help. He says, I pour out my complaints. I tell him what's troubling me. When my spirit grows faint within me, that is when I'm sad and when I'm feeling down like I am in this cave, he says, no one is concerned for me. There is no one who cares for me. David is sad. And you might be one of those Christians who would look at what David says and say, well, David, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, you're a great man of God. You're a man after God's own heart. You've seen God do amazing things. Think about what happened with you and Goliath. All the amazing things that God has done in your life, you shouldn't feel that way, David. I know what you're feeling, David, and you shouldn't feel that way. You just need to have more faith. You just need to trust that God is with you. You just need to trust that he has a plan for your life. But it's interesting. Here is David pouring out his heart before the Lord, expressing to him everything that he is feeling and the sadness that he's expressing. And never once does God say to him, David, you just shouldn't feel that way. You just need to have more faith. You just need to have more trust. One of the takeaways from what we see what David says is that it is okay to be sad. And maybe you're listening online today and your sadness is unbearable. It could be that your sadness has turned into depression. And maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to talk to a pastor or go talk to a friend or a counselor or a doctor and get some help. Because remember what we've been saying in this series, it is not wrong to have these emotions. Feeling sad is not a matter of being right or being wrong. Feeling sad is a matter of where is that emotion taking you. It's not right or wrong to have these emotions. The question we have to ask is, where is that emotion taking you? Sadness can lead us in a lot of different directions. It can take us to a lot of different places, and we see a couple of them here in this passage. One, it can lead to bitterness. David says in verse 2, he says, I pour out my complaint to him. It's like David is saying, God, why in the world are you letting this happen? This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. This wasn't how things were going to turn out. This was not the plan. I thought my marriage would last. I thought my family would stay together. I thought we would live a long life together. I thought, this is not how things were supposed to be. Sadness, if you're not careful, can lead you to bitterness. But sadness can also lead you to hopelessness. David says in verse 3, he says, my spirit grows faint within me. Or your translation may say, man, I am overwhelmed. Hopelessness is that feeling that you have when you feel like things will never get better, that things will never change, that you will never be happy again, you'll never be where you want to be in life. Hopelessness is that sense of, I'll never get over this, I'll never get past this, things are always going to be this way, and I will always feel this way. Sadness, if you're not careful, can lead you to hopelessness. But we also see that it can lead to loneliness as well, and that's where David is. Verse 4, he says, no one's concerned for me. He says, I have no refuge. In other words, I don't have anybody I can turn to in my life for help. No one cares for me. In fact, he says that twice in one verse, verse 4. He says, no one. Sadness makes you feel alone. It makes you feel like nobody cares about you, like nobody really understands what you've lost, like no one would ever notice that you're sad. David is in this cave, and he is expressing his sadness to God, and his sadness is leading him to bitterness and hopelessness and loneliness. But it doesn't have to.
In Psalms 142, starting in verse 5, we see a tone change. We see David's opinion and thoughts start to change. Whereas in 1 through 4, David pours out his lament to God. He pours out his complaint. In verse 5 through 7, David learns something about God, learns something wonderful. His circumstances are dire, and they're undeserved. And when you read the story, you understand that David didn't do anything to earn this badness that was happening to him. And what we see is David crying out to God. He's telling God of his desperate need, the hopelessness of his situation, but he's realizing something important, that the only sure thing that he had in this life was the presence of God. Look at verse 5. He says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Verse 6, listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. David realized that God was his refuge. He was a comforter. He was a friend he could rely on. In a sinful world where everything can be taken from you, do you realize that? Everything can be taken from you and nothing given back. God is the only thing that we truly can rely on, a God who doesn't leave you, a God who doesn't abandon you, who loves you even through the sad times, who understands the hurt of your heart, who understands the anger, even the bitterness, the loneliness, who blesses us with his presence. David writes that God is his refuge and his portion in the land of the living. What it means is that in this life, the land of the living, God is the one we can always rely on. Some translations, they take this term and they translate it as an inheritance. The idea is that God is the source of all happiness and all blessing. Everything around us can fall apart, but God will not leave us. His presence is always assured. David goes on and details the reasons for his sadness. He gives his complaint to God. He asks God to address his sadness. God doesn't want you to walk through this life alone. God doesn't want you to live through that sad circumstance alone. He doesn't want you to bear through those sad times alone. Instead, he wants you to come to him and give him your sadness. He's a big God. He understands sadness. He understands pain. He understands anger. He understands grief and sorrow and loneliness. He understands what you are going through because he created you. David realized that not only was God his refuge, his inheritance, his portion, but his own strength, the strength of his body and the strength of his heart were not enough. His own effort was not enough. He didn't just have God's presence. He needed God's presence. And he needed God's intervention in his life. When tragedy strikes, and it will, when times get tough, when the world closes in, and they will, when everything seems to fall apart, do you turn towards God? We've never been kings, and we've never been promised to be kings. You've probably never had somebody who is a close family member try to kill you. You've probably never became an outlaw in order to survive. You've probably never had to run and hide in a cave. But sometimes our lives can feel that way. And sometimes we find ourselves suffering in sadness. Do you suffer alone, in silence, in isolation, in bitterness, and let your sadness take you away from God? Or do you move towards the Creator who loves you and understands you and wants to comfort you, who wants you to bring your sadness to him, who wants to give you the joy of his presence, knowing that God is right there with you during those times of sadness? Do you see God, or do you just see a dark and dismal cave?
And one of the things that we've learned from David throughout this entire series is that with whatever emotion he was dealing with, he was always willing to invite God in to that emotion. And what we see here from David is that David, I think, found something that so many of us miss. In this, David found God's power, his presence, and his peace was never more available to him than when he was sad. God's presence, God's power, and God's peace was never more available to him when those moments that he expressed those honest emotions about who he was and about what he was feeling. Here is David in this psalm. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's talking to God about what's going on in his life and about how it's making him feel. He's feeling frustrated. He's feeling hopeless. He's feeling alone. He's pouring out his heart to God. And all David can see in that moment is the cave. But it was in the cave that God's presence was never more available to David.
The Psalms are filled with David pouring his heart out to God, pouring out the sadness of his heart. In fact, he writes of sadness many, many times in the Psalms. And like David, sometimes we get that to that sad point and we feel abandoned. But more importantly, we feel rejected by God because our lives aren't going the way that we want them to. The sorrow, the hurt, the heartbreak, the melancholy, the disappointment at the hand that life has given us can lead us down dark paths to where we have bitterness towards God. Here's the thing, church. God doesn't expect us to gloss over our sadness. He doesn't tell us that we're being silly. He doesn't tell us that our sadness is unfounded or that it's wrong. Instead, he comforts us. David certainly wasn't happy with his circumstance. And in fact, if you read his story, he had many more years of running from Saul before he actually would become king. Even after Saul died, it took a while. And so his plight is not over. He's still going to be going through hard times. But what he learned was that he could have joy as a follower of the one true God, rejoicing that God was with him even if he did not feel it. And he rejoiced at the mercy of a God who forgave his sin. And those are things that you and I can rejoice about. We can refuse to be bitter towards God because we have God's presence, God's mercy, God's grace, God's watched care. He's always with us. Sadness can lead us towards bitterness to God, or it can lead us to have joy. Scripture never tells us to be happy with our circumstance. Did you know that? It never tells you to be happy with your circumstance, with bad circumstances. Okay? Instead, what Ephesians 4:31 tells us is to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. In other words, don't become dark. Don't become angry. Don't become bitter because of what's going on. Philippians 4:6-7, it's my favorite verse in all of Scripture. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, key phrase, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We don't have to like our circumstances, and God doesn't expect you to. And there's certainly times we're going to feel sad, but God wants us to take our sorrow to Him, trusting in His presence, knowing that He loves and cares for us, knowing that what is happening to us is making us hurt. And He wants us to have thanksgiving, to be thankful that He's a God we can pray to for all things, a God we can go to for all things at all times, no matter how sorrowful, no matter how sad. Refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be alone. Refuse to let sadness lead you into darkness. Instead, take refuge, take comfort and strength in a God who loves you enough to walk through life with you, in a God who loves you enough to save you through His Son, Jesus.
Amen. All David could see in that moment was the cave. All he could experience in that moment was hopelessness and helplessness and loneliness. All he saw was the cave that he was in. But you and I know something that David didn't. And that is, there is a palace in David's future. The only thing David could see was the cave that he was in, but God saw a palace in his future. In other words, David's sadness would come to an end. He wouldn't always feel the way that he was feeling. And I think for you, if you're here listening this morning and you're struggling with sadness and you're feeling that sense of hopelessness and helplessness and maybe loneliness, and you're sad, and you'd be honest about that. First of all, we want you to know that God is with you, and God loves you, and His presence is there. But we also want you to know that this sadness is just for a season. That's right. The Scripture says there is a time for everything. There's a time for mourning, and there's a time for dancing. There is a time for sadness, and there's a time for happiness. And maybe where you are this morning, all you can see is your cave. All you can see is the sadness that you're in. And maybe in your sadness, there's a little bit of bitterness. Maybe there's a little bit of hopelessness. Or maybe even loneliness. But we want you to know that God's presence is never more available to you than when you're sad. We'd like to close our time this morning by just spending some time praying for you. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just bow your head and close your eyes and allow me to just pray over you today. Maybe you are feeling sad. Maybe you wouldn't even call it sadness. Maybe that's not the word that you would use, but you're not feeling all that great emotionally. Maybe you're dealing with the loss of someone that you've loved, maybe something that you loved. Maybe there's some family situation going on or some situation with your relationship with your spouse or your kids. It's just not what you hoped it would be. It's not what you want it to be. And maybe you're just not real happy about your job situation. Maybe today we mentioned something and it touched a nerve within you. Maybe you're dealing with bitterness. Maybe you're struggling with hopelessness today and you're dealing with loneliness. If that's you, we just want to spend a moment and pray for you. And so, Father, today I pray for your power, and your mercy, and your grace for each person that's listening this morning. Wherever they are, whatever they're feeling, I pray that you would meet them right where they are, and that they would know your presence in a very real way right now. Father, may they experience your grace and your mercy. May they know the power of your presence right there with them, wherever they are. I pray that you would meet them in their bitterness. I pray you would meet them in their hopelessness, Father. Remind them who you are. Father, meet them in their loneliness that makes them feel like they're the only ones and nobody knows. Let it start with you. Father, you know them. You love them. The impossible is always possible with you. And so, Father, we just pray for all of those today who can only see the walls of their cave. Allow them to see that you have a plan for them, a plan to give them a hope and a future. For we pray all of that today in the amazing name of Jesus, our Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.